Acts chapter 7, and we're going to find our way from verse 6 down to verse number 9, a pretty familiar story. I'm going to borrow something from the Old Testament, and I hope to be a help and a blessing to you today and give us some help and direction for our lives. Acts chapter 7, and look at verse 6 down through verse number 9. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. Now, in case you're not familiar with this context, a man named Stephen, he's actually preaching, only preached one sermon that we have recorded in the Word of God, but he's preaching at this time to a group of people, and he's recalling some things that transpired back in history, and is going to bring it all the way up to Christ. But we're going to focus in on verse 6 down through verse number 9 this morning. I'm going to start over and read verse number 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But notice these next five words. But God was with him. I'm going to speak for a few moments today on this subject. What happens when God is with you? Let's get some help. Father, thank you for how we know you are here with us today. Thank you for how you have blessed our song service. Father, from the opening song all the way through to the last one we just heard. Father, thank you for that. Father, we don't take this for granted. We want to just give you the praise and just thank you, Father, for allowing us to have a music ministry that ushers our hearts towards your throne. Now, Father, I pray now that you would speak through thy manservant today. I pray you'll take me out of myself, and Father, please, I beg you, only help me to say those things you desire for me to say today that's going to help your people. And I ask that you would give me the fullness of your spirit, and please give all of us ears to hear and a heart to heed. Father, in other words, we need you today. So please move from the pulpit to the last pew. Do what you desire to do, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Yeah, I don't think I really need to tell you that we're really living in some rough days. You look at the economy and everything that you hear about that's going on Capitol Hill, and what you see in the news today, and you've got the economy here and so many other things we could talk about. You've got rising gas prices that are going up. You've got food prices that are going up because everybody wants to get their cut and nobody wants to take a loss. You've got danger, it seems, on every hand. Everywhere you hear is just one thing after another. Dangerous situations. There's just death everywhere. People just dropping left and right, falling left and right, just death everywhere. But yet in the midst of all that, thank God, there are opportunities that abound. And what makes the difference really is knowing that God is with you. You remember there was a man in the Bible, his name was Samson. And Samson had his hair cut. And by the way, wasn't it Delilah who cut his hair? It was, because some people say, well, you know, you don't let a woman cut your hair and you lose your strength. That's ridiculous. A woman can cut your hair all day and you're not going to lose your strength. Okay, I could say a few things there, but I'm going to let it go and just move on into my sermon. I'm about to get on a hobby horse of a lot of time what you see on television, because there'll probably be something on there tonight that's unbiblical. But Delilah didn't even cut Samson's hair. It was another man who cut Samson's hair. And really, it was his disobedience to what God had already commanded him to do that allowed him to lose his strength. The cutting of his hair was something that took place, but also it was also his walking in disobedience because he got his hair cut and he wasn't supposed to. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to have yours growing down to your shoulders either, man. See, I've got to get into my sermon. I'm going to jump on so many hobby horses here today. But the thing that makes a difference is the fact that we know that God is with us. Now, sometimes you'll hear a person say, well, God's with everybody. No, God's not with everybody. Matter of fact, I was in Food Lion just this past week. I reached into my pocket. Matter of fact, I had just a couple of items in my hand, didn't even need a shopping cart, just grabbed a couple of things, was standing in line. A lady who was in front of me had a big shopping cart full of groceries, and she said, you can go in front of me. And I said, well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And while I was standing in line, the Holy Spirit said, give her a track. And so I reached in my pocket and pulled out a gospel track and gave her a gospel track. Amen. That's not a gospel track, but I pulled one out and gave it to her. Amen. There's one right there. So I pulled out a gospel track and I gave it to her. And as my custom is, I told her this. I said, listen, I said, this track right here, I said, this will change your life. It'll show you what you need to do in order to go to heaven. And here's our church on the back. I also love to invite you out to our church, and gave her that gospel track and began to talk with her. She began to share some things. Then she made this statement. She said, you know, she said, I'm saved. She said, because we're all God's children. And I told her, I said, no, we're not all God's children. I said, you have to receive Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Sometimes we feel like as if that we're all God's children. We're all a part of God's creation, but we're not all God's children. You have to come through the cross. You have to repent of your sins and receive Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, don't turn there, but verse 12 and verse number 13 states that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:12 teaches us that lost people are without God. I've told that a number of times. Now, God always sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. You can have a lost person in the house right beside you, and your house is right here. Primarily or generally speaking, God's not going to send rain down on your house and then not allow rain to touch theirs. Or if you need sunshine, just allow sunshine to come on yours and have a rain cloud over there. That's normally not how he works. He sends us rain on the just, those who are saved, and on the unjust, those who are lost. And just because God does something good for a person doesn't make a person saved. As I've told you a number of times, I could do something for someone's child. I could give someone's child something, but that does not make that person my child. They're not my offspring. They're not biologically connected to me. But I can still do something good for them out of the charity of my heart. But my own children, I'm going to go above and beyond things, even to make sure if I don't have, they're going to have. Why? Because they're offspring. We're connected. And so we are God's creation, all of us, but you only become God's child by coming through the cross. Just like the song said, is there a cross in your life? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And the Bible tells us that when we do that, and then we can carry out certain things, God will be with us in a special way. And I know right now your mind, all kind of things are running through your mind. And right now you're thinking, well, the Bible says that once you get saved, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And that's true. You don't lose your salvation, but you can lose his being with you, as the word means in this text. Now, what does the word mean in this text? And then that gives us an idea of what we're talking about. The Greek word here is the Greek word meta. And it carries with the idea of to be joined to be in participation with. In other words, he accompanies you. He's joined to you. He participates with you. See, you can still be saved, have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, Christ living on the inside of you in the personality of the Holy Spirit, but yet he's not working with you in things, participating with you in things. If I could give the example, Brother Fred, stand up for a second. Brother Fred is right here. I am with him, beside him. But now, if he starts, because of certain things he does not have in his life, if he starts to do something and he needs some help, let's say this is a heavy object and he needs some help, pick up that heavy object right there. Amen. All right. That's very good. Amen. He said he can't pick it up. All right. Now, I could still be with him, but I'm not helping him. I'm not working with him. But see, if it's something heavy for him, then what I can do is I can help him. And then if it's too heavy for him, I can carry him and I can work with him in the things that he's doing. I can put my blessings on what he is doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God will always, he'll never leave us or forsake us as far as salvation is concerned. But as far as his working with us like we want him to, or just like he dropped something, but now I'm going to be a blessing to him. I'm going to pick that back up and give you that which the locust and the cankerworm tried to eat. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to navigate his life. I'm going to be participating with him. With him. Thank you, Brother Fred. And so that's the idea that I want us to have today. And my introduction today is going to be just a little longer than normal. My sermon will be shorter than normal, and it will all mesh and we'll still get out at the same time. We're not on the clock here, but God always has us to finish right about a certain time. When I look down at my watch, it's normally about that time. I don't try to time it out. I just know how God works in it. But you got to set this thing up in order for us to understand what's taking place here. And so when Joseph was sold into slavery, God accompanied him. God worked with him. And that's one reason why we need to receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, because we want him to not only forgive us of our sins, not only make heaven our home, not only allow us to escape from hell, but we want him to work with us in everything that we do. We want his blessings to flow in the areas that we want it to. And see, God can work with us when we do certain things. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says God was with Joseph? It's another whole sermon in itself. We could talk about his humility, and he was humble. We could talk about the fact that he always wanted to give God the glory for anything that took place. We could talk about that. But there are two things in my introduction that I want to talk about as to why God was with Joseph. And then I'm going to show you what happens when God is with us. And you could probably come up with even some more reasons, but I'm going to give you two things in the introduction. And one thing is Joseph had a fear of God. He had a fear of God. Don't turn there, but in Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 18, it says, "And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live. For I fear God." See, a fear of God can bring the presence of God in your life and allow you to live longer. You say, "I don't think that's the case." Well, yes, it is. Let me give you some scriptures in case you're taking notes. You can write down Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. It says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." So when we fear God, it lengthens our days. Proverbs 14 and verse 26 and verse 27 states, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." See, Joseph had a fear of God, and that fear of God allowed other things to come off of his life, which literally brought the blessings of God upon his life and allowed for God to be with him, meta, in a special way. The second thing that we can look at in the introduction is Joseph obeyed parental authority. I said Joseph obeyed parental authority. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 12 down through verse number 17, it states, And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. See, Joseph had to travel a number of miles just to get where his brethren were. He went to one place, he wasn't there. He inquired and then went to another place. He didn't give up. He kept right on going. He obeyed parental authority. His father told him what to do. He obeyed that, and that's the reason why God was with him. Amen. Let me give you a scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Yeah. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well. Everybody say well. Well. Say it again. Well. Say it again. Well. With thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now think about what God is saying. Why would it be well with them? It would be well with them because I'm going to be with them. When they fear me, I'm going to be with them. When they are obeying parental authority, I'm going to be with them. Now, conversely, if you're not obeying parental authority, then God is saying, I'm not going to be with you. You're going to be on your own. A lot of things you're going to be trying to do, you're going to do on your own. You see why it's so important? I told you a few weeks back, about 3 weeks ago, I said, it seems like as if young people today are leaving this world fast. I mean, think about it. I'm talking about they're leaving this world fast. Real fast. Most young people aren't even living, not most, but a number of young people aren't even making it to the age of 30. I'm talking about just dropping off. I could think of some right now that I personally know hadn't even, I'm talking about just last year, had not even made it to the age of 30. Age 21 died. Age 25 died. On and on I could go. People just, they're leaving here. And I believe that one of the reasons is because we are rebelling, or young people are rebelling against the word of God. Now, God was with Joseph because he obeyed parental authority. If you are rebelling against parental authority, you're living on dangerous ground. And when we rebel against parental authority, we're literally rebelling against the word of God and cutting lives short. You see, why this younger generation, when I was growing up, I was thinking about this week, when I was preparing this, the younger generation this year, last year, year before last, over the last 10 to 15 years, probably from the time of this younger generation has been growing up. And when I say the younger generation, I just say from those who are 30 years old and down, younger generation. Probably many of them from the time they were small, they always heard children obey your parents in the Lord, children obey your parents in the Lord, children obey your parents in the Lord, children obey your parents in the Lord. And so when you hear something over and over again, Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remnant. Now, you think about this. How many young people you know that are pining away in a hospital? I mean, think about it. How many you know? You've got some, but very, very few. But how many you know you hear? Car accident. Heart attack. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, I believe God is serious about this thing. Now, it's got real quiet in here, but that's good. Amen. That's good. That's good. That means that processing. Amen. That's good. That's fine. So that means that God said if you're being often reproved and you're hard, you're not, God said you suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. And see, Joseph, he feared God and he obeyed parental authority. Had Joseph not obeyed parental authority, none of his dreams would have come true. None of them would have come true. It just seemed like something simple like, go see what your brothers are doing, come back and give me the report, and then once I get the report, everything will be all right. Now, had he disobeyed, at least I'm too busy. You know, I've got my own agenda. I just got through taking care of these sheep over here. I'm tired. See, just something simple like go see what they're doing, bring me a report, open up everything. Sometimes we think about large things, but really, oftentimes it's the small things in life that bring about the greatest blessings that God wants in our lives. And so if you want God to be with you, then I want to have something for everybody. So younger and older alike, really, fear God. And definitely for the younger, obey parental authority. That's God's way and method of bringing blessings in your life or bringing curses. So now, we saw what happened in Joseph's life. I've given you at least two that I preached on. I gave you a couple that I didn't preach on. But we can see that how God was with him. Now, don't you want God with you? Am I right? You want God to be with you. So if you want God to be with you, I know I want him to be with me. Amen. So now what happens when God is with you? I'm going to give you a few things this morning. Number one, in case you're taking notes, he will deliver you from all afflictions. Let me say that one again. He will deliver you from all afflictions. Notice Acts chapter 7, verse 9 through 10a. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and the patriarchs were his brothers. Verse number 10, and delivered him out of all his afflictions. And the word afflictions, the Greek word here is the Greek word thlipsis, and it literally means pressure, anguish, burdens, persecutions, tribulations, troubles. Listen, don't you want God to deliver you out of all the pressure that you're up under? We live in a pressure-cooked society. There's just pressure everywhere. And thank God, God has a release valve. God can release you from the pressures. He can deliver you from the pressures. When you get anguish, he can deliver you. When you have burdens and persecutions and tribulation and trouble, thank God he can deliver when he's with you. He's a deliverer. Like Nebuchadnezzar said, nobody can deliver like God can deliver. And see, Joseph had many afflictions, but God delivered him out of them all. I won't have you to turn there. But in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21, it says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Listen, Joseph at one time was tore up on the inside. His brothers were about to sell him to the Ishmaelites, sell him into slavery, and he literally was begging them not to do it, pleading with them not to do it, and they could see the anguish of his soul. And 22 years later, by the time you get to the 42nd chapter, those brothers were still eaten up and thinking that because of what we did, this came upon us. They were tore up on the inside, and they saw the anguish in Joseph's life. But God still delivered Joseph because God had the Ishmaelites to come down at just the right time, because they were literally going to kill him. But God had the Ishmaelites to come down at just the right time, and Joseph got sold into slavery, and that was the vehicle by which God was going to make some things come to pass. See, sometimes in your life, it seems like as if bad things can happen to you. But do you know when God is with you, the bad things that happen to you are oftentimes God's method of allowing the greater good to take place in your life. But there are times when God has to allow some bad things to happen and to take place in order for the good to come. And God delivers out of all afflictions, all pressures and anguish. And God delivered Joseph from his brethren at a time they wanted to kill him. God delivered Joseph from the lying tongue of Potiphar's wife. If somebody lied on you, don't worry about it. Just keep loving God. Do what you know you need to do. That way he can be right there working with you because he takes care of lies. They may lie about you on your job. Don't worry about it. God has it all under control. And sometimes God can use their lies to bring about your promotion. God delivered Joseph when he was there in prison, but he did it on his own timetable. But he delivered him. See, God is a deliverer. Job put it this way, Job 14:1. He says, man that is born of woman is a few days and finish the rest of it. Full of trouble. Now, if our days are few, and they are, that means we want them lengthened. Am I correct? And then if our days are full of trouble, then we need God to deliver us time and time and time and time again. I was thinking about last Sunday when the United Praisers, they were saying, you know, how many times must I prove how much I love you? How many times must I wipe your tears away? How many times? And think about it, God has delivered us time and 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 time again. You know what God is saying? God is saying, I'm with you. 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 Hey, if you didn't get it, I'm trying to tell you, God's with you. God's with you. That's how come he has blessed your life and allowed you to be able to see deliverance come. See, when God is with you, he will deliver you. You might be going through something right now. Just hang on. He's coming. He's coming. And he's going to deliver you at just the right time. What happens when God is with you? Number one, he will deliver you from all afflictions. Secondly, he will give you favor and wisdom. Favor and wisdom. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 10b. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, the word favor, you know, I checked it out, and I thought I knew what it meant, and I did. But, boy, the definition, when I saw this, I said, boy, that just does something for me. Let me give you what the word favor means. It literally means divine influence upon the heart. Let me say that again. It means divine influence upon the heart. In other words, when God is with you, God will allow those who are lost or those who are saved, God can manipulate that heart. God can give divine influence upon that heart to allow them to give you what you desire or need. That's God's favor. Favor. See, look at it again. It says, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you know, Pharaoh was the one who literally promoted him up. See, when you get God's favor on your life and God begins to move because he's with you, you begin to hear things like, people say things like, you know something, I normally don't do this. I normally don't do this, and I don't even know why I'm doing it, but I normally don't, but I'm going to do it for you. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's called divine influence. That's God's favor on your life. Sometimes a door can be seemingly closed, and you can start talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, God will start working with their heart, and after a while, they'll begin to say, well, you know something, I know I shouldn't, but I'm going. I can remember one time we had one of our vehicles towed before we had AAA. And the man was on the CB or whatever they were using back then, and that was 20-something years ago now. And they were talking, and he was towing the vehicle, and the man was communicating there back with the office, and he said, you're not making anything on this. And he said, I know, but I'm just going to do this just to try to help. But they were just arguing back and forth. And the man only charged me $30 to tow my car for about, I guess, 20 miles or so, or 20-something miles. And it only charged me $30. You know how it is. You get towed, and you see, you understand what I'm saying. And only charged me $30, but he was arguing back and forth. He said, you're not making anything on this. But what that was God's divine influence. Don't you want God with you? See, when God is with you, he'll give you divine influence amongst other people. He began to work on their hearts, on your behalf. I told you how I was going to the bank to get some money out. Didn't want to have to take it out because I had it in there for something else. But we had a little need, and so I was going to go into the bank to get it, and was walking through the door, and as I was coming through, somebody else was coming through, and I hadn't seen in years. Never was a member of our church, but hadn't seen in years. And never was a church member, but hadn't seen the person in years. And I thought, and I said, hey, how you doing? And the person spoke to me and so forth, and we chatted for maybe about, I don't know, maybe about 30 seconds or so, maybe 45 seconds at the most, and I was getting ready to go in here, and the person had a wad of money. If you don't know what a wad is, that's a wad right there, amen? They had a wad of money. Most time when I come out of the bank, I can fold them out and put it right in my pocket, amen? But they had a wad of money and just peeled off five bills. And don't ask me what they were. I'm gonna, he just peeled off five bills and handed them to me. And I said, you don't have to do this. He said, I just want to be a blessing. I said, praise God, amen. Praise God, amen. I like it to be a blessing. You know what happened? God put divine influence on that person's heart. And what I did was that little card that I had, my little debit card, I was going to have to scan and get a little bit of money. I put it back in my little money clip, put my money clip back in my pocket, and walk back out the door, amen? Why? Because God had given me what I needed. See, what you want in your life is you want divine influence on other people's lives so that God can bless your life. And when God is with you, that will happen. So what happens when God is with you? I said, he will deliver you from all afflictions. He will give you favor and wisdom. In other words, he can give you wisdom to make a little go a long way. He can give you wisdom when you're talking to people. He can give you wisdom on how to perform on the job. Sometimes a job may look like, I don't know if I can do it or not. God can give you wisdom on how to do it. God gave Joseph wisdom when he stood before Pharaoh. Joseph told him, okay, here you're going to have 7 good years, collect up a certain portion. And so that when these lean years come, you'll have enough, and gave him wisdom on how to do it. God gave the wisdom to Joseph, and Joseph gave wisdom to Pharaoh. So God can give you wisdom. Now, God can make you literally wise beyond your years. You can have a person who's a teenager, but when God is with them and they're walking with God, they can have more wisdom than a 40-year-old. You can have a person who is an adult in their 20s, and that adult in their 20s can have more wisdom than a 60-year-old if God is with them, because God is the one who gives wisdom. And God gave Joseph wisdom. So what happens when God is with you? Here's the third thing. He'll make your dreams come true. Notice Acts chapter 7, verse 10, down through verse number 13. Acts chapter 7, verse 10c, down through verse number 13. It'll make your dreams come true. Notice. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. See, because Joseph was king over all of Egypt, that meant that even the people there in Egypt and anyone who would come around, they had to bow in Joseph's presence to show respect and honor. And in Genesis chapter 42, verse 6, don't turn there, but it says, And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Verse 9a of chapter 42 says, and Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them. Think about it. It was more than 22 years from the time he was a 17-year-old boy. And then he was sold into slavery at the age of 17. And then at the age of 30, he was made second in command in Egypt. They had seven good years. That would put it at the age of 37 now. And then by the time his family came down, according to the book of Genesis, they were already 2 years into the famine. So that meant it was a total of 22 years that had transpired from the time that Joseph dreamed that dream as a 17-year-old man until that dream came to fruition when he saw his brethren bowing down before him. But God worked on his own time schedule, and God still allowed Joseph's dreams to come true. Listen, sometimes in life you can have so many disappointments, like Joseph did, disappointed by his brethren, disappointed by Potiphar's wife, disappointed by the butler who forgot him, one disappointment after another, but everything led to his becoming the second in command. His dreams did come true. It took a little time, but thank God they came true. And sometimes what we have to do is get off of our timetable and get on God's timetable. Some of you in here today, you might have dreams of serving God in a powerful way. Listen, when God is with you, he can make your dreams come true. You know, you may have dreams of getting married. When God is with you, he can allow your dreams to come true. You may have dreams about your home. You may have dreams about your job. You may have dreams about succeeding. But God can make your dreams come true when he's with you. When he's with you. See, that's why, listen, we live right the best of our ability. You never be perfect, but you live right to the best of your ability. Now, young people, you honor, and obey parental authority. You say, well, what if I messed up? And what if I haven't feared God? Then what you do is you repent, ask God to forgive you, and say, from this moment on, I'm going to try my best to do what's right according to God's word. And then if you haven't obeyed parental authority, say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. And by your grace and by your power, I'm going to live my life obeying parental authority. And thank God we have a God who's merciful. Merciful. And God can make your dreams come true. Sometimes in order for God to make your dreams come true, we have to make other people's dreams come true. It wasn't until Joseph made Pharaoh's dreams a reality that his dreams became a reality. And there are times when we are looking to receive, but when we give, then that's when God begins to move. And see, when we determine that we're going to do what is right according to the word, that's when God begins to step in and move and work in our lives. What happens when God is with you? I said, he will deliver you from all afflictions. He will give you favor and wisdom. He will make your dreams come true. Here's the last one. He will cause you to recognize his sovereignty. He will cause you to recognize his sovereignty. Notice Acts chapter 7, verse 14. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 70 souls. In other words, Joseph had his father and his father's family, extended family, all of them to come down there. And the Bible tells us literally here in verse number 14 that it was 70. A score is 20, so that's 60. And 15 souls, 75 people that literally came down there. Now, why did he have them to come down? He had them to come down because he wanted to provide for them and to keep them alive. Let me give you a scripture. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 18 down to verse number 20, it states, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. In other words, Joseph recognized God's sovereignty over his life. Now, at one time, he was filled with anguish. He couldn't understand, why is this happening to me? But now, 22 plus years later, now, he began to see all things clearly. He said, now I can look back and see how God was working in this all along. And see, God allowed him to be able to see his sovereignty. Listen, God is in control of your life. God is in control of your situations, whether they're good or bad. God is in control of your circumstances, whether they are pleasurable or not. God is in control. And what God is doing right now, you can't understand it. But see, when you fear God and you try to do what's right, you may not be able to see it all right now. When I say you can't see it, I mean you can't see it. But God's working, and God's working, and God's working. And after a while, you're going to get over here, and you're going to be able to look back, and you're going to say, you know something, that was a tough time, but I thank God I had to go through it because now I'm here. You're going to say, that was a rough situation, but I thank God I went through it because now I'm here. That was a tough time financially, but I thank God that I went through it because now I'm here. That was a rough time when I didn't have enough food to eat, but I thank God because now I'm here. We've talked a number of times, and I'm not going to get into it all, but we talked a number of times about how when we were in Bible college and just how tight things were. Before we came off the Bible college, we had plenty of money. Plenty. I said plenty. No, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I said plenty. No, you still didn't hear me. I said we had plenty of money. We would eat steaks like it wasn't anything when I was in South Carolina. I told you that was good night. Back in 1988, you added up, baby. I'm preaching. You added up. But we lived back there. I'm talking about, 20-some-odd years? I guess getting close to 30. I don't know. Add it up. Somebody give me the number. 1988 to 2013. 25. All right. 25 years ago. Last week, 1 week, made $800-something take home. 25 years ago. Working for Westinghouse. Good money. Amen, Brother Larry. That's good money. We had good money. Eat whatever we want to eat. Everything was fine. Wasn't worried about a bill. Take care of it. No problem. Off to Bible college. Things changed. We became poor. Didn't have a whole lot. But we had to eat a lot of mackerel, didn't we? I'm talking about mackerel. You've heard me tell it before. You heard me tell it, right, Brother John? That's right. Mackerel. My wife, she was a mackerel chef. I'm talking about she could fix some mackerel. See, when that's all you got to eat, you find ways to make it work. She could cook a mean mackerel patty. Sometimes she put some onions in it, amen. Mackerel patty, amen. Mackerel and rice. Am I preaching now? Mackerel and rice? Mackerel and rice. Brother, we eat that. Mackerel. We ate everything except mackerel soup. Probably figured out a way to make that taste good when they ate that. I've told you how our kids went over to High Point to visit with the grandmother and them and so forth, and they gave them like real fish. You know, they got a bone in it, amen. Well, mackerel got bones in them, but you just chew them up so it doesn't matter. So. And kids don't think, and they said, wow, a whole fish. They called them and said, what y'all doing to them kids over there? poor. But we look back on now, we talked a number of times. We said, thank God, because during that time we had the money, but we didn't have sense on how to eat right, to take care of the body. And when you don't know how to eat right, to take care of the body, and you have money, then you're going to be putting all kinds of things in your body that you don't need to put in there. So we were relegated to only being able to eat for a long time. Macro. But it made us heart healthy. It allowed the blood to be able to flow. So many things that you can get from macro. Matter of fact, if I could find a verse, I ought to preach on macro and the will of God or something, amen? But it was good. We didn't like it going through it, but we see the benefits of it now. And we've talked a number of times. We thank God that we went through it because of what we're getting right now. Listen, God is sovereign in your life. Right now, things may not be going the way you want them to go. Things may not be flowing the way you want them to flow. There may be some things that are disappointing in your life, but I'm telling you that God is with you. And what you have to do is just trust his sovereignty. Because when he's working and participating with you, you're going to be able to look back and say, I thank God. It could have been something evil, but God meant it for good. And God's going to work out everything in your life. All you have to do is just stay close to him. In closing, Psalm 56, verse 9, the psalmist said, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When God is for you, he's going to deliver you from your afflictions, give you favor and wisdom, allow your dreams to come true, and you're going to be able to look back and recognize his sovereignty in your life. Let's bow for prayer.